Again, it's good to be with you this morning. Good to see everybody. Beautiful morning, isn't it? Sun's coming out. Can't ask for a better day. Thank you, Tom and Mary, for filling in for us and making some of the adjustments that we needed to make this morning. I've worshiped singing behind. That was wonderful. Wonderful singing. Appreciate that. This morning, we'll start our series, and we'll continue on in our series in 1 John. And we're talking about a unique experience that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we talked last week and as we sort of introduced the book, what we understood and what we saw was that through the book of 1 John, we're going to be talking about a unique relationship, that unique relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about our unique life that we have because of Jesus Christ, that unique love that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we'll also be talking about our unique unity because of what we have in and through Jesus Christ. And so this morning as we open our Bible, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, and as we look at these verses, we're going to be talking about a unique walk, a unique walk. There's something different about the way we walk because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's something new and refreshing about that walk, and it should be different than anyone else in the world. It should be distinctive. It should be unique. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this passage this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning, the opportunity to share in the joy of two young adults who have a heart to follow after you and to walk with you. I thank you for Aaron and Bethany, and I pray that as a church family that we might pray for them, that we might continue to uphold them before your throne. We now know that as they have publicly identified with you in the waters of baptism, Father, that they've dedicated themselves to walk with you, we know that we have an adversary and we have an enemy that just wants to attack and wants to destroy. And Father, I just pray that you might put a hedge of protection around Aaron and Bethany right now as they have made this public profession of their faith this morning. And Father, I pray that as we open the Word, I pray that you might be seen, that you might be heard, and that we might be challenged in our walk with you, so that we might better reflect the image of Jesus Christ to the world around us. So, Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives. We love you, Father. We thank you for this privilege of gathering together this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's look at this passage this morning, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 5 through 10. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So this is an amazing passage of Scripture as we start off the book of 1 John. Last week was the introduction, and John, in those first four verses, sort of sets the stage and does set the stage for the rest of the book, and the impact that the rest of the book has on us, and what John is trying to communicate to us through the Word, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ who came to earth, God who came to earth, in human form, in the person of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that the testimony that I am giving to you is true, because we walked with him, we talked with him, we ate with him, we lived with him, we did life together. And so the testimony that I am sharing with you right now is out of personal experience. This is the relationship. I had a unique relationship with Jesus Christ. I was one of those chosen. I was the beloved disciple. I was that one that leaned on his chest at the Last Supper. So John has a unique perspective of who Jesus Christ is. And so as we start to work through the book, we're coming from that perspective. Last week we read the whole book to just give us the context of what John is writing in this letter and what he is trying to communicate and how all of these pieces fit together to share with us what it means to have a unique walk and a unique relationship with Jesus Christ. So we start off this morning, verses 5 through 7, we're going to be talking about our walk. Our walk. And it's important as we think about our walk, because that is what other folks see when they look at us. Now, we could talk about a unique life, we could talk about a unique whatever, however you would define walk, but this is how we live our everyday life. How are we walking in light of our relationship with Jesus Christ and who God is? And so today, as we look at this, we're looking at John just sharing his heart with the churches. And as we mentioned, it may be that he's writing to those churches in Asia Minor, those same churches that he wrote to in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And so John writes this about our walk. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. So John is saying this is what Jesus shared with us, demonstrated to us, how he lived his life, and now we are proclaiming this same thing back to you. We are sharing with you the exact same thing. It was important to Jesus to emphasize this in our lives. And so now it is going to be important for us to emphasize this to you. Because moving forward, this is how God would want us to live. And this is how God would want us to walk. So he says, this is the message that we heard from him and now proclaim to you, quick and simple and to the point, God is light. God is light. John isn't saying God is the light or God is a light, but he is saying specifically that God is light. Everything emanates out of that light. Jesus, God is light himself. He is that light. Physical light, possibly spiritual light, obviously. He is the light that shines on us. He is the light that moves us from darkness into that glorious light through his Son, Jesus Christ. And what John continues to say is, in him there is no darkness at all. Now we look at the sun, well, hopefully you're not looking at the sun, but as you observe the sun or you see pictures of the sun, we see those dark spots on the sun, don't we? There are those dark spots. There are those places of cooling or whatever those spots are on the sun, different coloration there. But in God, there is no darkness at all. There is nothing that would resemble darkness in God himself. So everything else is now going to be judged on that context. That God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So how does that impact and affect me today? Well, he goes on to say in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth, or we do not practice the truth. And so what John is saying is, here is the standard. Here is God in his light, perfection, holiness, purity, everything that goes along and what we think about when we think of God being the light. And what John says is, if there is anything in us that doesn't resemble him, that's darkness, isn't it? contrast. There is this contrast between light and darkness. We were in West Virginia, and we were in a cave. And I don't know if you've ever experienced darkness like that before. We had these headlamps on our helmets, and we turned off those headlamps, and it was dark. It was really dark. Couldn't see your hand in front of your face, literally, and I realized what that expression was all about. What we know is that when we have a relationship with God, now we have this light that streams into us. This light that should be radiating out of us, that people see that light. Our light is marred. We are never going to reach that same intensity of light that God has because we're marred, we're flawed, we are sinful individuals. But in a dark world, a light does shine. While we were in that cave, I had a camera and it had one of those indicators on the flash. Little red light on the back of the flash, which you would not even notice unless you were looking for it in the light. But in the darkness, the whole group was able to see that one red light that was shining. And the reality is what God has called us to be is salt and light in this world, hasn't he? We are to be that light that shines in the darkness. Jesus says we do have that light, and we're not going to hide that light under a bushel or stick it under a bed somewhere where that light doesn't shine. What Jesus is talking about is our light needs to shine in this world. And how is our light shining in a dark world? It was interesting. Yesterday, Chris and I were driving through the parking lot. There's a young man out here playing basketball, shooting hoops. And I had a chance to stop and talk with him a little bit. Sammy's his name. And I said, Sammy, you know, someday we're going to have to get in and we'll go in the gym and we'll shoot hoops together. And he goes, I'd love to do that, but that's for the school. You know, I can't get in there to play. I said, buddy, we're going to get in to play. We're going to get in there and we're going to play. And if that's an opportunity to shine our light, I pray that we turn the lights on bright and leave the door wide open because we want to show God's grace in the simplest ways that we possibly can. So what John is saying here is that if we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So there's this profession that is made. We do not practice the truth. There's this profession that is made, but my life doesn't match up with that profession. There's this contrast between profession and practice. And we really need to be aware of that in our lives, don't we, as believers? We need to keep short accounts of sin in our lives. We need to continually be checking our relationship with God and where sin is and where sin has crept in. And it's so easy to allow that to happen. We need to remove it or we're liars. John's pretty upfront, isn't he? Not going to beat around the bush. Our time is short in this world. We don't know when Christ is coming back to take us home to be with him. But we see the world around us falling apart. We see the Church of Jesus Christ falling apart. Just read an article this week by Tony Campolo, supposedly one of the leading evangelicals, talking about, I have misread Scripture all of my life. And you know, homosexuality, we need to embrace this. We need to be aware of this, and we need to include, and we need to, he said, it was amazing, he said, I wrestled with this for a long time. I struggled with how I am seeking to cure a homosexual, and I can't do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to embrace it and change my theology. Marriage wasn't between a husband and a wife, and it wasn't for procreation. Basically, what marriage is for, and this is what Tony Campala said, basically what marriage is for spiritual development and growth. And in a homosexual relationship, you can have that happening. And that's really what God was talking about. Forget all the rest of the scripture that we have, but we need to be walking in the truth. We can't lie. We can't have this darkness as a part of our lives because the world is looking at us. We need to shine that light. Do we need to love? Do we need to care? Do we need to minister? Do we need to show Christ as Christ loved? As Christ sat on the edge of the well and talked to the woman there who had been married who knows how many times, and the man that she was living with wasn't her husband. How did he respond to her? He loved her and he cared for her. Are we caring for the Sammies? Chris and I met a husband and his two sons at the park the other day and invited them over, Josh and his sons, Alex, and I can't remember the other one's name, Andrew and Alex. You know, they had, his kids were about the same age as our grandsons, so we were sort of drawn to them. But we need to be showing Christ's love every opportunity that we can. Do we tolerate sin? Do we change our theology for sin? No. We continue to speak the truth. We continue to live out the word of God. But we do it in love, and we do it in concern, and we do it in patience as we have an opportunity to share the reality and the message of Christ in our lives. So if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth or do not practice the truth. We need to keep our lives in check, don't we? Our walk needs to be consistent with what our talk is and how we live our lives. In verse 7, we have, John takes it a little bit further in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, what we're saying is we acknowledge that there is something in my life that is separating me from God. Correct? That's what we're proclaiming. That there is no way in and of myself that I am going to enter into heaven without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ is that atoning sacrifice. And John's going to be talking about this a little bit later in chapter 2 and later on in the book again. That he is our propitiation. He is the one who came and took our place. He is our atoning sacrifice, as some translations say, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And we understand that, and we should be living that. And we should understand that our sin is covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no way that I am working my way into heaven. There is no way that I am ever going to be good enough to get into heaven. It is only by the acknowledgement that I am wretched and lost and sinful and separated from a holy God. And in that, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every stain. I read this quote this week, didn't mention who it was from, but let me read it. There is no stain too deep that his blood cannot remove. Amen. Amen. There is no stain too deep that his blood cannot remove. What a precious promise. What a motivation to walk in the light as he is in the light. As we move on, we see our confession. Our confession. And there's four steps here. Verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. As we look at these verses this morning, we've already read verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And then in verse 8, we say again, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what does John say again? If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What does John say three times? If we say we have no sin, if we say I am okay, if we say there is nothing in me that separates me from God and God's going to accept me the way that I am, we're a liar. And we do not walk in the truth and we do not practice the truth. I pray that that's not our confession. If we say, John mentions that three times, doesn't he? But verse 9, what's that confession? If we confess our sins, if we come to that point that we are acknowledging what God is telling us, that he is going to forgive us, he is going to rectify our relationship with him. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him but walk in darkness, we walk in that darkness. It is profession in contrast to practice. There is no practice and there is no truth in us, John says in verse 6. In verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I'm good. There's going to be a day when God's going to let me into heaven. If there is a heaven, I'm fine. There is nothing that I need to fix in my life. I'm okay. Nothing that I need to worry about. We deceive ourselves because Scripture is clear. In Romans, Paul says, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. And that means every one of us, doesn't it? All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let's not deceive ourselves. What happens in verse 8 is that we realize that people rationalize their sin versus the reality of what sin does for us. Because we can talk our way through sin and we could rationalize the way that we live in light of our experiences. I'm okay. This isn't sin. Have you talked to anybody like that before? Oh, God really doesn't care about this one. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, the whole nine yards. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We are separated from God because of our sin. Verse 10, just keeping on that same thought, where John says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. Why? Because God says, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we say, I haven't sinned, one of us is lying. One of us is lying. But John has already established the fact that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So where does that leave us? Who's the liar? We are. We are. Do we want to admit our sin? Oh, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. To admit our sin, to admit that we fall short of what God's standard is. What is sin? Well, if we could remember this definition of sin, it would help us as we walk through our lives in particular, but even as we walk through the book of 1 John. Sin is anything that is against the nature and character of God. Okay? Simple definition. Sin is anything that is against the nature and character of God. So if I examine my life and if I look at my life, what I realize is anything that doesn't line up with who God is, that perfection, that holiness, that righteousness is sin. Okay? And that's a hard thing to swallow sometimes. Because there are a lot of things in our lives that don't match up to who God is. And when they are exposed to the light, God's light, that pure light, that holy light, it becomes quite evident how far short we fall of the glory of God. Oh, that our hearts would be sensitive, that our hearts would be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we would understand the reality of these spiritual checks that we need to continually make in our lives so that our lives might reflect the image of Jesus Christ. You see, John's giving us every opportunity here to, okay, here's the beginning of the book. Let me just lay this out for you. Let me lay out the truth. I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm going to tell you exactly how it is. And so we examine. And so we look at our lives. We could say all day long that we are followers of Jesus Christ. But if our lives don't match up with that, we're in trouble. We could claim that we're a Christian all we want. We could be baptized. We can do whatever we want to do. But if our life isn't consistent with the Word of God and with the character of God Himself, we're fooling ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Oh, that God might work in our hearts, that the Spirit of God might work in our lives, and we might take a serious look at our lives and examine ourselves and correct those things through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we yield those things to Him, that those corrections are being made so that we might better reflect the image of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that whom He did foreknow, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that's our ultimate end, isn't it? If we look at our lives, eventually we are going to be standing in the presence of God, whole and complete, because of the standing that we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Do you see the theology that John is weaving through here? The truth of this theology, this is the theology that we should be living by. I'm a sinner, I'm separated from God. It is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that I have a relationship with Him. That atoning sacrifice that paid the debt of my sin so that I don't have to face the penalty of my sin. And now my walk needs to match up with that profession and that confession that I've made. Oh, John's all over it here, isn't he? We live in a wicked world. A world that is looking for answers. And we have the answer. And that is in the person of Jesus Christ. This block party isn't about having a good time next Saturday. We plan on having a good time next Saturday. But that's not what it's all about. It's about an opportunity for us to rub shoulders with people that we may not ever rub shoulders with again and to show Christ, to demonstrate Christ, to live out Christ. We're called to be His ambassadors. We're called to be salt and light in a dark world. I pray that next Saturday every one of us are there. My prayer is that every one of us would just seek out somebody. I hope I do not see a group of Walnut Ridge people sitting around talking. This isn't for us. This is for our community. It's for us to be able to meet new people. And so as you come, do what God leads you to do. Looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. So our confession is the second point there. Third point, as we conclude this morning, is our forgiveness. I am so thankful for God's forgiveness. Amen. Aren't you? So if we confess our sins, so there's an acknowledgement that I am sinful, that I am separated from God, that my life is not lining up with the character of God. And I am saying out loud, or however you confess your sin, I am saying that I need forgiveness. I need my life changed. I need to give this over to God. And what John says is that he is the faithful one, the only one, but he is faithful. If we confess our sins with a sincere heart, and we are asking God to change our lives and to remove this sin and to help us to not fall back into that sin again and to walk in this newness of life as we confess that sin, he is faithful. That is one prayer he's going to answer all day. He is faithful, and he is just to forgive us of all of our sins. Isn't that a great truth? If we confess, he is faithful to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ does an amazing work in our lives. It covers us. It cleanses us. It renews us. It changes us. I pray that we are serious about our relationship with God. That we get on our faces before him, literally, figuratively, and we get serious. God, reveal to me those areas of my life that are hindering my walk with you. God, reveal to me those areas of my life that are hindering my testimony and how I reflect your image. Reveal those things to me so that I might confess them, that you might forgive them, and that I might move from this point and from this place. Because God is faithful. And you know what? Those things are going to start to come. Best example I can give, and it's a lousy example, it's an onion. And you know how it is peeling off the layers of an onion. God's not going to start in the middle of the onion. He's going to start in those big things, most likely that we already know are things that we need to get rid of in our lives. And so he reveals those things and he peels that layer off. And then he reveals the next layer and we confess it and he peels that off. And he continues to do that. We're going to come to a point where we're saying, I never knew that was sin before, but God, you're revealing it to me. I'm going to confess it. And I want you to forgive me. And I want you to change me. So we have that forgiveness through our Father, Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're challenged in our walk. And we're challenged in our confession. Because as we seriously look at our walk, and as we seriously look at our confession, God says there is forgiveness. There's always forgiveness. As long as we're breathing, as long as we're living, there is forgiveness of sin as we come humbly before him. So this morning we have a study in contrast. First of all, God is light, his purity and holiness. And as we look at ourselves, we understand that there are those dark spots. There are those dark spots in our lives that we need to bring before him. And we need to confess that. And God, through Jesus Christ, cleanses us of all sin. Let me ask two questions this morning. Is there sin in your life that needs to be confessed and turned over to him? Is there something in your life that needs to be confessed and turned over to him? We're coming to the Lord's table this morning. No saving merit in these elements, no saving merit in those waters there, but they are outward representations of our relationship with Jesus Christ. They're demonstrations of our relationship. Baptism is a one-time event. Communion, we do this all the time. Jesus commanded us, we do this in remembrance of him, but it gives us an opportunity to examine our lives and to examine our hearts, to look inside ourselves and to say, what is there that needs to be confessed? What is there that needs to be brought before God? And this gives us that opportunity. We are reminded of Christ's broken body. We are reminded of his shed blood and the hope that we have of eternal life through him. So I pray that this morning as we come to these elements, that we would take that time in reflection and confession. Maybe this morning there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and realizes that they are in need of him. I pray that in the quietness of the moments that we have before this communion table, that you would say, Father, I am a sinner, I am lost, I am separated from you. I need a Savior. I give my life to you. The simplicity of the gospel sometimes holds us back, doesn't it? It holds people back. There's something else I need to do. Well, one thing you do need to do is confess your sin. And recognize that we are sinners and that we are lost. So this morning, my challenge in my life has been my walk and my confession. Always need to keep that in check. Always need to be evaluating. Always need to be looking and searching my life so that I might reflect the image of Jesus Christ. Understanding that there is forgiveness of our sin doesn't give us a license to sin, but it gives us the hope that he hears us and that he forgives us. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the joy of witnessing two young adults who have chosen to publicly acknowledge their walk with you. And Father, I just pray that you might bless Bethany and Aaron. Father, as we look at the table this morning and as we come to your table this morning, I pray that you might challenge our hearts. First of all, as a believer, that if there is sin in my life that needs to be confessed, it needs to be given over to you to lay it on the altar, Father, I pray that I might do that this morning, that we might do that this morning. And Father, I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they might put their faith and trust in you. Father, the simplicity of your gospel, the acknowledgement that we're a sinner and that we're separated from you, the acknowledgement that we are in need of a Savior, and the belief that you have sent your Son to rectify that relationship, to pay the price for our sins, so that we might have eternal life. Father, the simplicity of that, I pray that if there is a heart here this morning and needs to put their faith and trust in you, that today might be their day of salvation. Father, we love you, we thank you for this morning and the joy and blessing of gathering together to worship you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.